In the previous half hour, I was talking about the message of last Sunday and what will continue this Sunday. A subject that probably no preacher in America has the guts to tackle today. Who's the harlot woman of the book of Revelation? Catholics are told don't read the book. That avoids the issue quite well. I mean, if it walks like a duck and talks like a duck, swims like a duck, quacks like a duck, it's probably a duck. I mean, God laid out the lands of this earth with his people in mind. He cursed the descendants of Ham through Cush. That you can't change. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. If you don't like it, punch Ham out when you get wherever you're going. I mean, there are several cultures, the sons of Japheth, who believe themselves in superior people on the face of the earth, and everyone else is inferior to them. Sorry. Not yet have they proven superiority. Otherwise, it wouldn't be third world. Like it, lump it, blame colonialism, blame anybody you want. I mean, Japheth carried the blanket with Shem. Why didn't he get equal blessing? It's what Paul's talking about. It's what I'm talking about in the choosings of God. I think that's awful. Fool, become a new creation in Christ Jesus. Be joint heir with him. Respond to God's call if the nudge is there and be glad like a snake shedding his skin that these temporary earthly relationships, the fruit of somebody's bad move and God's reaction or God's sovereign planning. If you've got any nudge in the spirit from God, you can be set free from any group, any identity, for the high calling in Christ Jesus. You're set free from yourself. Most of you are still self-worshippers, children of this generation, catering to the flesh. Some of you started to figure out I'm sick of people abusing my teaching on faith and grace and peace. I expect God to lead me in his word over the next few months to where I can separate the sheep from the goats. Some preachers always shut up. They aren't called. All they do is confuse people. They should be picking cotton or something. God has decreed in his word God's aware of the contest going on. God has given margins of allowance, as he has to demons. They worried when Jesus came on the scene, are you come to send us to the abyss before our time? They know their time's going to be up. They know their destiny. They're scrambling, at least give us the time that's allotted before you put us there. Satan loves to go to church. He'd rather go to church than most saints. That's one of his favorite seats. You be sure he makes some of his legions show up to every church. That demon-possessed man in the synagogue had been there for years. Nobody even knew it till Jesus came along. Found him right there in the synagogue. Now, if you don't, if you get offended at the suggestion that the institution of the Catholic Church may reveal itself to be the harlot woman of the Book of Revelation, then cut it down to size. Break it in pieces and make it little. Because I can tell you, no little localized sect is going to be the harlot woman. I said Sunday it might be bigger than the Catholic Church. It might be some ecumenical union. But for that to happen, the Catholic Church must yield on that which it doesn't publicize, but that which created the Orthodox Church. The Orthodox Church, the other great apostolic sees, patriarchates, would gladly join with Rome if Rome would be satisfied with primacy, first among equals, and not demand supremacy. That's why they separated. The Orthodox Union, Russian Orthodox, Alexandria, Cyprus, all those great Orthodox unions, Greek, Ukrainian, they suffer a loss that they feel and proclaim in their doctrine because they share the conviction of the Catholic Church that the Church is the vicar of Christ, the custodian of God's Word on this earth, the only agency to speak God's Word in the now. And a splintered church lost that ability to have a whole church council where the church in wisdom could make its decision with the keys of the kingdom. I don't believe in the doctrine. I believe God's still alive and hasn't lost his mouth. But the Orthodox Church feel limited because with the splintering, all the great apostolic sees that represent the whole church in council, a general council of the church, can no longer occur in their view because Rome is splintered away. What happened, in fact, is Rome splintered the others away because they would not accept supremacy. Go ask your Catholic bishop if Gene Scott can be saved without being baptized in the Catholic Church. And if he's honest and true to his doctrine, he'll say no. Go ask your Catholic bishop if you can go and be baptized in Gene Scott's church or any other church outside the Catholic Church and still be saved. They'll tell you no. I don't care if you go get baptized every morning, every Catholic church in town. Doesn't bother me. Probably use all the baptisms you can get. Just an outward testimony of an inward happening, which is God's gift because of your faith. So every act of faith, I don't care whether you do it in the Catholic Church or here, I'm happy to see you do it. But, you know, it's time for honesty. I hate hypocrites who would put me down for telling the truth that the Pope knows is true. I know. I've got an undergraduate major in history. Catholic Church has not always been bad and hasn't always been good. In their view, Paul was a member. Peter was a member. They claimed supremacy at Rome because Paul and Peter, they claim, founded it. I like Linus. He's the son of that Silurian British king. Caradoc. Caractacus, as the Latins called him. It was the household of the daughter of that same Silurian king that became the church at Rome. for Gentiles. Priscilla and Aquila led the Jewish church at Rome. I got the same history they got. I can even claim apostolic succession. Canon Brian Green laid hands on me in the Episcopal Church basement in Melbourne. So don't hypocritically deny me fellowship. Ask your bishop if he'd sit down and have communion with Dr. Scott each night. The Pope will not even have communion with the head of the church in England. The Pope will not even have communion with the patriarch of the church at Russia, with the Iron Curtain down. If he goes to Moscow, he will not have communion. Don't talk to me about intolerance. There are a lot of good Catholics, been a lot of good popes. There have been some bad ones. And when the Inquisition ruled, Satan had his seat in that church. When they anointed corrupt kingdoms of Europe, starting with the Franks, and through successive seven kingdoms, Satan had his seat in that church. When Mary attempted to bring the Catholic rule back to England and beheaded Christians at random, Satan had his seat in that church. I happen to believe the current Pope has produced a revival within the church and worldwide, as I believe that Russia is doomed to be an agent of Satan. God has dropped the curtain. And whether sincere or not, Yeltsin's current profession of Christianity has helped to open the door, and his return to the church and baptism has helped to open the door for God to do a work in these last days among the Russian people. But when a church has had the power to influence and wed itself, as Pergamos did, with government, which is the union between the false prophet and Antichrist, that church has been taken over by the dragon and is functioning as the harlot woman of the book of Revelation. Now let's assume that an ecumenical group is formed and Rome would yield its supremacy, or assume they don't, and the Catholic Church has a resurgence of power that we witness on all sides, and the rapture takes place. The bride of Christ is taken up, including all the Catholics. And a good pope is on his knees praying, and on that Feast of the Trumpets Day, he goes up to. All that's left then in that Catholic worldwide organization are evil ones within its rank. You're still going to be here. Going to be a lot of Christians here, a lot of Protestants. Pat Robinson will still be conducting the 700 Club. I'm not condemning him. He believes the church is going to go through the tribulation. And you better can believe that he will. Those who believe they will. There are a lot of Christians in the Protestant frame believe they're going through the tribulation. They believe the rapture is going to happen after the tribulation. Well, I can tell you they'll be here. I won't be around for them to criticize. They'll be here. This is just a little piddling organization compared to Catholic Church. But the day after the rapture, there'll be somebody here trying to take over the assets and run this organization. Use a little common sense. They'll be wanting to sell the property that God has helped us accumulate. I mean, the towers will not rapture from the Anguillan Island. The transmitters and antennas will be there. Somebody's going to use it. We're just a piddling little thing alongside the Catholic Church. I'll tell you, when their monasteries were used as an escape route for Nazis, Satan had his seat in that church. When for whatever reason they wouldn't excommunicate Adolf Hitler, Satan had his seat in that church. It was a bad marriage with Germany, the agreement made with Hitler. I'll tell you the most important thing to the church is they kept the tithe. That tax that belonged to the church. Millions of dollars came out of Germany to the church all through Hitler's reign. Now, if Jews can be mad about him not excommunicating Adolf Hitler, I ought to be able to read the Bible. I'm going to, I'll tell you that. Now, let's assume the rapture takes place and the current pope goes and all good Catholics go up. There are some bad Catholics around. The Jesuits used to be the Pope's men. Now they have moved left. There are many studies about those that were the Pope's men opposing a lot of the current traditional fundamentalist approach of the current Pope, particularly in South America. There's going to be some Catholic cardinals that don't make it. Just like going to be some Protestant pastors that don't make it. Well, you think they're going to just knock all the monasteries down? Because the good Pope and the good Catholics left? Somebody's going to take over and run that show. And with the church gone, the true church, it then will, just like Antichrist, who becomes full-orbed after the church is gone and becomes possessed of demons, an institution with worldwide control, power, size, history, will become full-blown what was just seen sporadically through history. The harlot woman that will be destroyed. And it's called a city, by the way, in the book of Revelation, as you'll see Sunday. And it'll be destroyed, not by God, but by those 10 kings of that confederacy in the last days who are given during the tribulation the chance to finally destroy that whore. I'm sorry if it offends. But 2,000 years history and the determined claim of supremacy and infallibility that embraces some horror sections in its history cannot blind the eyes to the fact that the Catholic Church, like any church, has got some seamy, sorry historic periods in its history. And some strings and tentacles that still flow out of that. You've been around 2,000 years claiming supremacy. And we're allowed opposing and destroying, as in the Inquisition, those who don't share your view of your position. You've had more time to kill. And more power to get it done. If the Islamic people, in their get faith by the sword days, were Christian, they'd be an equal candidate with their worldwide connections and their history of destroying those in the name of God who oppose them. But the harlot woman is going to be a church. It ain't going to be a Buddhist organization. It ain't going to be a Muslim organization. It's going to be a church with a 2,000-year history, and a church who takes on that which originated before the church was formed at Babylon. Now, you find your candidate. I've found mine. I'm naming it and being very kind in the process. America's got great ideals. I spent a lifetime fighting for the Constitution. But the Constitution no longer controls in the centers of power. There is no such thing as a First Amendment. There's a small cadre of men led by a man appointed by Richard Nixon to silence dissent. Rehnquist was Nixon's hitman to silence the protesters. One of the greatest cartoons I've seen in years, and the Times has some good ones, had Rehnquist in his black robes the other day, not standing on the Constitution. He had four black legs coming down, the DEA, the CIA, any leg of government is the foundation on which he stands. The current Supreme Court will do more to usher in the age of Antichrist than all the Supreme Courts combined down through the years. And I came out of university with high ideals, ready, I believe, to die for constitutional principles. It's a losing battle. It ain't worth the effort. I can now find a place overseas with more freedom than this United States has on issues of religion. Doesn't mean that the American dream wasn't good. Doesn't mean that God did not ordain this country. He did. Just means that the wrong people seize power. And when it happens, it turns as evil as those who control it. There's been plenty of times throughout the history of the Catholic Church that God was not in control. What are you going to do with the period when two popes fought? What are you going to do when Napoleon held the pope captive? Well, this is a free country, in theory. There's still some free speech left. It is my job as a teacher to turn lights on. What you see in the room after the light is turned on is up to you. Well, are you against Catholics? No, I'm Catholic. I'm a member of the Universal Church, founded by Christ on the foundation stones of the apostles. I night and day try to teach their revelatory words. If the university network was as big, as powerful, as widespread, and as ancient in its history and longevity, I would be worrying every day as the Pope of this organization that I turn the light on to the dangers of everyone who is a member, that they be ready to go when Christ takes us, because we would be the most likely candidate were we that size, that history, that powerful, that widespread, the biggest in the world. We would be the most likely candidate on my departure for someone to seize control and welcome in Satan to make his seat there again, as he has many times. And you can recognize when it's happening by the message that is being proclaimed. It looks like Christ, but it gets its message from Satan. So don't get on the defensive and nervous. If the message is from God's Word, it ain't coming from Satan. When the message starts sounding like Satan's message, make any compromise with earthly government to get on in this life, then Satan may have moved in and sat down. That's my message, that's my story, and I'm sticking with it. Now get on the telephone. Let me show you in the Ephesians last night, and you don't have to take any more calls. I went quickly past the verse where Paul is talking of God in the dispensation of the fullness of times, bringing all things in his family together under Christ. Paul speaking in the original, we who believed, and you who now are faithing. And he embraced in one sweep those that were chosen of God before Christ came, and we who are the chosen in Christ after his coming, but both have their standing before God and God's right of taking their faith, as he did with Abraham and as he did with David, instead of their works, was based on Christ, whether retroactive or forward. And I read a previous night from a commentator who said, in the pulpit commentary, whereas God had only the family of Israel that he had chosen for that special role, he now has us. And as the Hebrews letter blends into the, from the 11th to the 12th chapter, it ends by saying that these all, having these great exploits of faith, of whom the world was not worthy — that's a right attitude about God's chosen — of whom God was not ashamed to be called their God, that's a testimonial to their standing. Even these did not obtain the full promise in its realization, God having us in mind. And I thought I'd go back tonight. Same God. My Bible says Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And who do you think you're meeting? And the expressions of God in the whole entire Old Testament, it's not as the Nicene Creed declares it, the triune God. When the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, Deuteronomy chapter 7, and hath cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, and the Canaanites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than thou. They may have thought they were doing it. God cast them out. In fact, in this same book, in another place, God is saying he wouldn't remove them too speedily, lest the vacant land that's left become a habitation of animals that would threaten their existence. Now, there's God's view for you. Well, why can't I get these Philistines out of here so I can expand my farm? God didn't want to move them except at a programmed sequence, lest a vacuum of the land be created into which animals would move and threaten their existence. He moved them out in sequence as God's people multiplied and were able to take over the land. Here he's saying, seven nations greater and mightier than thou. When the Lord hath cast out many nations before thee, and when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Seven nations mightier than them to be utterly and completely destroyed. Because they're occupying the land that God gave to Abram. Well, is that fair to the Hittites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites? Now, they don't like it. Move over to Israel. Be proselytized. Thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. I got a call from someone who said, I'm thankful you're my pastor and the lights you're turning on in the book of Ephesians. Hey, I ain't teaching any new truth. Been there all along. I just hadn't gotten to it yet. There ain't nothing I'm telling you. Get your own 26th translation. Get your own Greek translation. Get your own commentaries. What I've been teaching the first chapter of Ephesians is not anything new. And there is nothing I'm coercing your brain to accept. If you've got eyes to see, you're seeing it. As I open it up to you, I didn't put the choosing in the middle voice. In the 26th translation, one of the translations made it clear. Go to any commentary you want. There ain't no middle voice in the English language. But the choice is in the middle voice, making it clear he chose us for himself. Now, I've always told you, New Testament's enfolded in the Old, Old Testament unfolds in the New. The whole Word of God says the same thing. I'm not done with the first chapter of Ephesians. I'll take you to Romans 8 and show you the same thing. I'll take you back to Galatians and show you the same thing. And this person called and said, I've been talking to some of my friends, and they don't believe it's in, they just don't believe that's what Ephesians says. They're like my aunt used to say, right there's where I differ with the Bible. And I've been hearing this person who called me, said, I've been hearing a lot of whosoever wills. Well, who's the willer? I mean, you're Protestant? Well, not many. But in name, like there are lots of Catholics in name, there are lots of Protestants in name. What are you protesting? When have you protested anything? But be that as it may. And by the way, parenthetically, this shortwave voice can reach the whole world. And if we own it, this truth can go to the whole world. Where tens of thousands need the light turned on. And some Catholic bishop or owner cannot take me off the air. Because I preach God's word. Think on that as you play your part in Secret Six. But God is the willer. They love to quote scriptures out of context. Whosoever will may come. That's right. But you got to balance that with Jesus' word, no man cometh to the Father save the Spirit drawing. The counter to that is, whosoever doesn't will, doesn't come. Now, why do some will and some don't will? God chose some, sent His Spirit to pick them out, and prevenient grace is an older doctrine in the church on sounder historic basis than any fundamentalist doctrine being preached in the world. And prevenient grace teaches what Jesus said. The initiative starts with God. Just like this. Well, it's cruel to leave somebody out and not will them. Well, that's right. Like there, don't show any mercy to these people. I didn't choose them. Neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughters thou shalt not give unto his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son. Why? For they will turn away thy son from following me, because they ain't following me. That they may serve other gods, so will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you and destroy thee suddenly. But thus shall ye deal with them. Ye shall destroy their altars, break down their images, cut down their groves, and burn their graven images with fire. Don't you dare do it, though. If you're on a station owned by a Jebusite. He'll take you off the air. For thou art an holy people. Does that sound like Ephesians? For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because ye were more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand, and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him, and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. He chose them. The Jebusites, the Canaanites, well, you trace their lineage, you're going to go back to Ham. God is God. That's what Paul is trying to say to the Romans in the 9th chapter. Don't argue with him. Clay doesn't say to the potter, what are you making, as Isaiah pointed out. And talk to me about fairness. Before they ever got out of the gate, God said, Jacob I love, Esau I hate. You had better take this choosing as the most important fact of your existence. You better quit your dallying. What you didn't know, you weren't responsible for. Because God chose you, you've now come to the light. Better walk in it. Worthy of the vocation wherein you're called. God hasn't changed. But as Paul said to the Ephesians, verse 12, chapter 1. Start with 11. In whom also, speaking of Christ, we have obtained an inheritance. literally made his inheritance, being predestinated, foreordained according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Not for us, he chose it. That we, Paul's now speaking of himself and those who were before Christ or of the heritage of the chosen people, that we should be to the praise of his glory. Literally in the Greek, we who had first trusted in Messiah, because that's what Christ means, in whom ye also, strike out, trusted after that ye heard, it literally reads, in whom ye also, having heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also ye believed, were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance. God's wrapping all things, as the 10th verse says, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. Angels and we that are down here, including the two streams of election. The first stream, God's chosen people that I just read about in Deuteronomy. And now we, who also, after ye heard the word of truth, which you're hearing, trusted, faith, and were sealed with the implant of the Holy Spirit. I ain't preaching any new doctrine. You better come to newness of appreciation for the old truth and God's choosing. Be a little more serious about it instead of your on again, off again performance, which has characterized so many of you. You're going to prove, as the old Puritan said, your election by the way you act. You're never going to be the same after you hear this truth. Whosoever will may come. Well, unless the Holy Spirit tugs you, as Martin Luther said, you're under the imprisonment of that superhuman will that combines the world, the flesh, and the devil, and you will not come, so you ain't part of the whosoever, unless the Holy Spirit reaches in and, like a brand snatched from the burning, pulls you out of that mess. You better be grateful if you've been so pulled.